Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of that song, because we can truly have everything the world says will somehow complete us and feel more incomplete than when we began the journey. And Lord, as we open up your word today and we hear your wisdom and your truth, may it resonate inside our soul. May we finally found the one thing that can bring about contentment. Lord, so many times we feel like we're on a merry-go-round. Here we go again. Here we go again. God, I pray that we would get off the world's merry-go-round and we would fix our eyes on you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome everybody, and welcome to all of our multi-sites as well. We're glad that you're a part. For the multi-sites, you didn't get a chance to see that. We have 200 people on Riverside that have signed up to be baptized, not counting all the multi-site baptisms as well. And I promised that I would baptize, and my problem was is my back went out this week, and the old gray mare just ain't what he used to be. And so I got a couple of young guns to help a brother out, and wasn't that exciting to see all those people get baptized today? So cool. So cool. So let me start off this message about contentment by asking you a question. Just by a raise of the hands, play along at all the multi-sites, play along at home as well. A question is this: how many would say that you complain a little more than you should? Just raise your hand up high. Confession's good for the soul. All right. How many of you are sitting next to somebody and they didn't raise their hand and you know they're a complainer and right now you'd like to raise your hand to complain that they, anybody have the courage to do that right now? There's a few of you out there. I appreciate that. There were two women and they were on board a train and they were fighting over the window. One wanted the window up, the other wanted the window down. The woman who wanted the window down, she said, I have to have the window down. I'm going to die of a heat stroke. And the woman who wanted the window up, she said, I got to have the window up. I'm going to die of pneumonia. Well, they didn't know what to do. They just kept fighting back and forth and back and forth. Finally, the conductor came over and he didn't know how to solve the problem. Finally, a passenger chimed in. He said, pull the window down, that'll kill one of them. Then put the window up, that'll kill the other. And now we'll finally have peace and quiet, right? That sounds like something that I would say, you know. Our words, our complaining can get us into trouble, can't they? There was a woman, she went to the pet store and she wanted to buy a parrot. And so the guy said, listen, I'll sell you this parrot, but you need to understand the last owner was a bartender in a bar. This bird knows every curse word in the book. It has a tendency to say things that a bird shouldn't say. She said, that's not a problem at all. I'll take that bird home. I'll train him to do something different. So she bought the parrot, brought the parrot home. First couple of weeks, everything was perfect. But then the woman forgot to get the parrot food for that particular day. So when she came home, the parrot was hungry and he was mad. And he's cussing up a storm. He's cussing over here and he's cussing over there. Well, she wasn't going to put up with that, so she grabbed that bird and she put him in the freezer and shut the door. And she left him in there for a couple of minutes and then she opened it back up and he was cold as he could be and she put him back in the cage and she said, do you understand why I did that to you? He said, yes, ma'am, I do. She said, you ever going to talk like that ever again? He said, no, I'm never going to talk like that ever again. She said, you learned your lesson. He said, I've learned my lesson. And he had. Next few months, everything went by without a problem. But then she forgot to clean his cage and she forgot to feed him again. She came home. The bird was cussing up the storm again. So she grabbed a hold of that bird and she threw him in the freezer a second time, shut the door. But this time she forgot about him. And minutes went by, and when she finally realized what she had done, she ran over, opened up. The bird was about frozen to death. So she put the bird out and she puts a little cool, you know, a blow dryer on him, trying to warm him up as much as possible. She said, now, do you understand why I did that to you? He said, yes, I do. He said, you ever going to talk like that ever again? Bird said, no, ma'am, never going to talk like that again. There was a long silence, and they looked at each other. The bird said, can I ask you a question? She said, well, yeah, go ahead. He said, I thought I knew every curse word there was. What did the turkey say? You know it's a good joke when it kind of has a ripple effect throughout the crowd, like, Our words show what's really going on in our heart. Did you know that? That's what Jesus said. He said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in him. But I tell you, I hate this verse, that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. Jesus says, listen, your words, the things that come out of your mouth, it's not just a mouth issue, it's a heart issue. It's coming out of the overflow of the heart. And so we're gonna look at contentment today, and we're gonna look at a person who says that he's learned the secret to contentment. That he has found that it doesn't matter what his situation is, it doesn't matter what his financial situation is, that he has found the secret to contentment in any and every situation. Sounds like a pretty bold claim, wouldn't you say? The person who made the claim is the Apostle Paul. He makes it when he writes a letter to the church at Philippi. Paul once again finds himself in a prison cell for proclaiming that Jesus has risen again from the dead. Now, friends, what's great news for you and me, because now we have hope beyond the grave because of Jesus' death, dying for our sins, being buried and rising again from the dead. Because of that, we have hope. It's good news to us. In the first century, it wasn't good news to a lot of those people. A lot of those people were Jewish religious leaders, and they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They didn't believe that Jesus rose again from the dead, and they were very violent individuals. And so Paul would go from town to town proclaiming the resurrected Messiah, and you know what they would do to him? They would beat him. They would throw him into prison. They would whip him. Paul's entire body is laid out with scars from under his neck all the way down to the bottom of his feet. He has suffered greatly for the kingdom of God. And he says, listen, I've been through it all. I've gone through the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, and I finally figured it out. I know how to live a contented life. I don't have to be discontented anymore. Look at what he says here in this passage. He says, I have learned the secret to being content. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then there's this famous verse of scripture, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So Paul says, listen, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. So the first thing that we need to realize when it comes to contentment is this: contentment does not come from your stuff. Write that down if you're taking notes. He says, I know what it is to have everything the world says will make you fulfilled and still be empty on the inside. Now, most of us, we know exactly what that feels like, right? Because we have pursued stuff. We've gathered stuff. We've put as much stuff in our homes as we possibly can. We have more cars than we can drive. We have so much. We've been blessed with so much. And we just keep thinking that the next purchase, the next acquisition, the next whatever is all of a sudden going to bring about fulfillment, that it's going to bring about purpose, that it's going to bring about meaning. How many times have you been duped into that? And here's what's interesting. Even though you know, even though I know, that pursuing stuff and buying more and accumulating more doesn't add to my contentment by any stretch of the imagination. Even though I know that, I keep buying into it over and over again. You see that we've got the contentment meter behind us right now. You're gonna see that meter go from different levels all the way through this sermon. So the question is for those of us who think that contentment comes from our stuff, what would the meter say about something like that? It wouldn't be very good. And yet we're duped by it all the time. So let me talk to the ladies, because I think they have a problem with this one. Let me talk to the ladies for just a second. I'm glad you laughed. That was a man laugh right there. You know that, right? The ladies are like, you better not laugh right now, I tell you what. I'm not saying any of the ladies here or at home or in a multi-site have ever done what I'm about to say, that it's possible. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's possible. Ladies, isn't it possible, if we're honest, isn't it possible that you can walk into your closet? Let me say that again. Walk into your closet. For those who are watching in Belize, in America, we have walk-in closets. It's a room offside of a room, and it's just filled with clothes. It's possible, isn't it, ladies, to walk into a closet. a closet full of all kinds of outfits, a closet full of all kinds of purses and all kinds of belts and all kinds of shoes. It's possible to walk away from that encounter and look at your husband and say, I don't have a thing to wear. I'm not saying anybody's ever done that. I'm not saying you've ever said those words that have come out of your, I'm just saying it's possible, isn't it? And why is it possible, ladies? Because you saw your girlfriend in that cute outfit. And honey, hush, she looks so good. I mean, that purse was so cute. And the shoes that matched the purse and the outfit, oh. And so you went home and you looked in your closet like, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. And you turn to your husband and he says, you say to him, I need a new fall wardrobe. Not just a new outfit, a whole wardrobe. Now, I'm not saying anybody's ever done that. I'm not saying that you're on a first name basis with the Amazon delivery driver. I'm not saying that. But we know you are. It's possible, isn't it? Let me talk to the guys here for just a second. The men. You know the difference between a guy and a gal when it comes to this is the price tag. A girl will buy a whole bunch of stuff for a little bit of money. It'll eventually add up to a whole lot. But a guy just blows it all on one thing, right? Let me talk to the guys. It's possible, isn't it? To walk into your garage and to look at your truck and think, it'd be nice to have a new truck, right? It'd be nice if I had a little bit bigger truck. Kind of got a ton of truck right now. Maybe a bigger truck. You start measuring the garage a little bit. See how big a truck you can fit in there. Because in Albuquerque, New Mexico, if you can't fit it in your garage, it's going to be gone in the morning. You know what I'm saying? That's just truth. That's just truth. So you're measuring away, trying to figure that out. Now, here's what's interesting about your existing truck. It's 3 years old. There's nothing wrong with the truck. Never been in the shop one single time. But it's out of warranty. That's a nightmare right there. If it's out of warranty. And so you could go buy a new truck and they get a new warranty with you. And they're being great on trade-ins right now. And you can get your brand new truck for much less. And I don't know if you know this or not, but they've got more features today in today's trucks than they had in trucks even 3 years ago. They've got a thing called butt warmers, but not just butt warmers. They got cooling butt warmers. Did you know that? Air conditioned coming whoop right up there. Like, hello. This is what happened to me this week. I'm driving down the road with my wife. My wife turns to me and she said, you know, you look good in a new truck. I said, get behind me, Satan. That's what I said. She said, you ought to get a new truck, get some more whistles and bells. You know, you can afford a new truck if you want to get a new truck. There's nothing wrong with my truck. But later that night, because she gave me the okay to look at it, I'm on the internet. I'm looking at websites, looking at new trucks, and you know they got some pretty cool trucks out there right now. I'm not buying a truck. But it's possible, isn't it? Because I was fine driving my truck. I was content with my truck. But then one little messenger of Satan comes into my life, and I find a twinge of discontentment as a result. Friends, listen to me. Stuff doesn't satisfy. If it did, you'd be the most contented people on the face of the earth. Because you got more stuff than 90 to 95% of the world's population. You got so much stuff, you can't even fit all your stuff in your house. Some of you got so much stuff, you can't even fit your car in your garage because it's filled with stuff. Some of you have storage facilities where you pay someone to store your stuff, stuff you don't even care about, but you think that stuff somehow one day is going to be needed. Stuff has limitations. Stuff can bring about excitement for a moment. It can bring about happiness for a moment, but it doesn't last. Look at what Solomon says here. This is the richest person to ever walk the face of the earth. And I'm talking the richest person to ever walk the face of the earth, even in today's standards. He said this, I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers and a harem as well. The delights of the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, it was meaningless. It was a chasing after the wind, and nothing was gained under the sun. Because your stuff doesn't fill your soul. And you never can run away or get away from an empty soul. Let me give you the second one. Contentment doesn't come from our circumstances. Look at what Paul wrote. He says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Here's what he's saying. He's saying you could be the fat cat in the corner office. You can drive the newest car, get a new car every single year, upgrade your iPhone every single year. You can have all the stuff. You can be a big wig. You can be looked upon as the head cog in the synagogue, right? Well respected, well admired, and still be empty. Do you remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? He thought it was something he could do because there was an emptiness. The kid's rich. He's set for the rest of his life, and yet something's not right inside of his soul. And so he comes to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, obey the commandments. He says, which ones? And Jesus says, all right, let's play the game. Do this, 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 and this. And he says, I've kept all these commandments since I was a boy. He lies to the face of Jesus. So Jesus says, one thing you lack, go sell everything you got and give it to the poor and then come follow me. Only person Jesus ever said that to. Why? His God was his stuff. His God was his position. In selling everything away, guess what? He doesn't have the position anymore. In selling everything away, he doesn't have the stuff anymore. But he believed he needed the position. He believed he needed the stuff to be satisfied. Paul sat in a prison cell. He said, everything taken away from him. Nothing has turned out the way that it was supposed to turn out. And he's writing this letter, and he has the audacity to say, listen, I know what it is to be well-fed. I know what it is to be hungry. I know what it is to be poor. I know what it is to be rich. I know everything in between. I know with circumstances, you know, those things can change as well. Right now, I'm in a jail cell. I'm in a jail cell for proclaiming that Jesus has risen again from the dead. And I just want you to know, I'm good with it. I'm content. And we want to shake him and say, how in the world can you say such a thing? And he looks at us and says, well, Jesus is my contentment. It's not Jesus and stuff. It's not Jesus and when my circumstances change. It's just Jesus. Jesus is the one who brings me meaning. Jesus is the one who brings me purpose. Jesus is the one who brings me significance. That's why Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So I don't care what you do to me. I don't care what you take away from me. I don't care the situation that I'm in. As long as I have Jesus, it's more than enough for me. My contentment is in him and in my relationship with him. Now, does this sound like a casual person who's following Jesus and thinks about Jesus every once in a while? Don't you think that Paul's whole life was consumed by Christ? And that all he wanted to do was honor him and walk with him and talk with him and do life with him? Don't you think Paul would look at us today and say, Jesus is my rock. Jesus is my shelter. Jesus is the one that I lean on. I can do all things through Christ. I could do nothing on my own. But through Jesus, Jesus being by my side, his Holy Spirit empowering me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I want you to think about all the things that you are banking on to bring you contentment. It's the same things everybody's banking on. Your house, your cars, your 401k, your job, your position, the way other people look at you. And you keep depositing all your hope into those things. And for a brief moment, they can bring about happiness. I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying they can't fill your soul. And here's the interesting thing. The stuff that we pursue, we can't take any of it with us. Ask any funeral home director what you take with you. You don't take anything. Some of you old timers know the name John D. Rockefeller passed away. They're accounting for John D. Rockefeller, the richest man during his time on the face of the earth. The accountant was asked the question, how much did John D. leave behind? You know what the accountant said? All of it. Because all that stuff you're stressed out about, all that stuff you're worried about, all that stuff that you think you need to have, and then when you have that stuff, then you'll be satisfied. You die of a heart attack in this moment, that's it. Someone else is going to have your stuff. Someone else is going to enjoy your stuff. Someone else is going to have. You don't get to take any of it with you. Ecclesiastes says, naked a man came from a mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. Jesus put it this way, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Oh, if we could just learn that truth, we could be content. We were made for more than stuff. I like what Max Lucado wrote. He said, heaven does not know you as the fellow with the nice suit or the woman with the big house or the kid with the new bike. Heaven knows your heart. And then 1 Samuel chapter 16 says, the Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance. We put everything on our circumstance. We put everything on our stuff. But the Lord looks at the heart. Contentment comes when we can honestly say with the Apostle Paul that I have all that I need with Jesus. There was a missionary, and he had been in a poor country for 30 years, and he was finally coming back to the States for his retirement, and he was flying in from a foreign country into the United States, into Las Vegas, Nevada. He was going to get a hotel room, stay for a couple of days, and then go to his final destination. So he gets off the plane, he gets his luggage, he goes and gets a taxi, and he begins to taxi because his hotel is on the strip, so he begins to taxi down the strip. It's late at night, but you can't tell on a Las Vegas strip because it's lit up like it's daytime. And he sees all the marquees and all the bright flashing lights. He even gets to drive by an exotic car show that was taking place, sees the best vehicles that money could ever buy, the most ingenious people putting together the most incredible cars. He sees all that stuff. He sees all the billboards and marquees with the best entertainers that the world has to offer. He sees all the drink special posters. He sees all the specials for dinner. He goes by, and as he gets to his hotel room, walks through the casino, because that's the way they always set those things up. And he sees all those people trying to get rich quick, and he hears the bells and the whistles and the money coming down off the slot machines. He sees all that the world has to offer. Gets his room key, gets on the elevator, goes up to his 15th floor room. Opens up the room, doesn't turn the lights on, opens up the curtains, looks down the strip below him. Then he looks up and sees the stars in the heavens. And that old missionary prayed a simple prayer. He said, thank you, Jesus, that I haven't seen anything tonight that I want more than I want you. Now the question is that you? Because when I read that story, I asked myself the question, is that me? Is there anything in this world that I want more than I want a close, intimate relationship with Jesus? Now, if you can answer that question honestly, you now have found your source of discontentment. Because anything you want more than you want Jesus is the thing that's going to bring discontentment in your life. Now, Paul says, listen, I've learned the secret to contentment. He says, Jesus is more than enough for me. Is he truly more than enough for you? Do you have that intimate relationship with him where you lean on him, he leads you, he guides you, he helps you through every day? I think that was the main key for him when it came to contentment, but I think there was a second key for Paul as well. I think Paul also learned to be content as he lived his life one day at a time. Paul had this amazing ability to live in the moment, and the circumstance didn't really matter. Think about this. He finds himself in a prison cell once again, writing this letter to the church at Philippi. Everything in this world is falling apart, and yet he says, I'm content in all of this. I'm going to live this day. Yes, my circumstances aren't great, but I can find contentment doing what God wants me to do, even in the midst of this pain, even in the midst of this heartache. Listen, we got to stop convincing ourselves that one day our life is going to get better. Don't we tell ourselves these kinds of crazy things? It's the young person in their 20s. They say, well, one day life's going to get better when I get married. Dream on. And so what do? You pursue the girl, you pursue the guy more than you pursue Christ. You say, well, one day, but be content. So you get married, you content? No. Why not? Because you need kids. Got to whip some kids into the equation. Then you'll be content. So you have one child, then another one comes, and it's the diaper duty, right? And the bottle duty, and the kids are a lot of fun and they're constant entertainment, but my goodness, when you want to go from point A to point B, you got to pack 3 suitcases to go from one spot to another. And you just look at your wife or you look at your husband and say, you know what? When we get out of this season of life, then we'll be content. So the kids begin to grow, right? Now they're in elementary school, and they've got practices and games and recitals and things. You're running them over here, and you're running over here and over there. You're like a chicken with your head cut off. You're like a human taxi cab, don't you? And you turn to your wife, you turn to your husband, and say, oh, man, when we get out of this season, then we'll be content. But then they turn 13. Oxygen refuses to go to the brain at that point. They look at you like you're the dumbest person on the face of the earth, and they don't listen to you, and they argue with you, and they fight with you all the time. You look to your wife, and you say, if we could just hold on for another 5 years, we'll get them out of the house, and then we'll be content. And then they go off to college, and you boo-hoo, and you boo-hoo, and you cry, because another chapter of your life has come to a close. Or they go off and they get married, and they have their own family and their own home. And then you come home, and the house that was once so full of life is so quiet. Too quiet. And the house that you always wanted to have be clean is clean. Too clean. And you know what you long for in that moment? That you could go back and do it again. Because you never truly lived in the moment. You never got every ounce of life one day at a time. I heard about a guy, he was dying to graduate from high school so he could go to college. Then he was dying to graduate from college so he could go into the workforce. And then he was dying to get married and to have a family. And then he was dying for the kids to move away so they finally have peace and quiet in their home. And then he was dying for the day that he would retire. Last I heard, the guy now is just dying. That's how fast life goes by. So I think if Paul was here today, he'd say, listen, live in this moment. Be content in this moment. Don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have. Because every single day of your life is a gift. There was a man, he went back to his house one day, and his friends were with him, a couple of his guys, and he was doing some stuff in his bedroom, and he went over to his wife's dresser and opened it up, and there was a box with tissue paper, and inside was a beautiful silk blouse, had cobweb trim around the neck, very expensive. Oh, the price tag, ridiculous. And he pulled out the tissue paper, and he threw it away, and he picked up that beautiful blouse with that astronomical price tag. He turned to his two friends, and he said, My wife bought this 8-9 years ago when we went to New York City. We paid too much for it. She's kept it in her dresser drawer in this tissue paper. She said she would wear it for a special occasion. And then he laid it on the bed along with the other clothes he was taking to the funeral home. With tears streaming down his eyes, he looked to his friends and he said, "Every day is a special occasion. Every day you're alive is a day to enjoy. It's a day to love God. It's a day to love others. It's a day to be satisfied in Him. And not to be conned or fooled into believing the stuff or the circumstances matter. Because everything we're facing today is light and momentary compared to the eternal glory that will outlast it all. Every single day is a day to enjoy." So if Paul was here, what would he say? He'd say, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not assured. You got the privilege to live this day, so live it. Soak it up and be content in Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we need this. We are bombarded with commercials. We are bombarded with thoughts and ideas that one day when this happens or that happens, then we'll be happy, then we'll be content. And because we live our life believing these myths and these lies, we end up griping and complaining. And that's not what you have for us. That's not what life is supposed to be about. Lord, the older I get, the more I realize how precious each and every day is. Every conversation with you, every conversation with others, it's a day to be fully present, to be content with where you have us in our relationship with you, in our relationship with others. Lord, may we be able to say with the Apostle Paul, that you are more than enough. And because you're more than enough, we can do all things through you who gives us strength. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.